Okay. Kum Len and Ablak Gemara, we're up to Daf Kuf Amud Aleph on top of the page. For all those who had Smicha, you probably remember these Gemaras, and all those who were Mishra, when you get Smicha, should know these Gemaras. Says the Gemara, Daf Kuf Amud Aleph on top, V'chein. So the last thing we spoke about was the Gid Hanosha that got mixed up with others. What are you supposed to do? And we said that a Gid Hanosha is a barrier, is a choshev thing, and therefore it's not bot. Now we're talking about, there should be a feeling of deja vu because it's smicha, you have to learn all the Gemaras. So now the Mishnah also said the same thing applies to a piece of treif meat or whatever got mixed up with other meat. Look at the taste of the shishim and all that. Says the Gemara, chayin, likewise, chaticha shenevela. Okay, same thing applies to chaticha shenevela. The Gemara said, I understand. But the bottle berube, why don't we just say that it's bottle berai? Why do you have to say you have to have 16? We include all the contents of the pot. Just say that it's bottle berayv, because my tail is bottle berayv and it's a bottle berayv. The din is if you have three pieces of meat, two of them are kosher and one of them is treif. We say, there's a lot of opinions there. But the Rosh says that you're allowed to eat all three pieces, one after another, the same person. Others say, you can eat them all together. Because each piece we say, oh, that's from the roiv. Others say you can eat all three pieces, but one after another. So when you eat each one, we say, so what is this? It's roiv. Others say it should be two different people, because if one person ate all three, it's definitely that this guy. There's another couple of opinions. So why don't we say the same over here? Bottle b'roiv. Why do you? So we said that if you recognize the treif piece, you pull it out, and the rest is bottle b'shishim. If not, all the pieces are asa. Why are you all asa? The Gemara says like this: Oh, nichal amanda on a kol. If you remember the Gemara Bay we had over there, there's a machlekes. If you say kol shadak limonos or eshadak limonos. What a davar choshev, something that you count, is never a bottle. So now if we're saying like this, there's two ways of understanding that. Do we say es shadar kalimonos or kol? Kol shadar kalimonos means that from time to time you sell it by the number. Not always, but like fenugreek, whatever. But from time to time you sell it by the number. So that's already enough choshev, that's not bottle. Okay, so slabs of meat, pieces of meat. Sometimes you sell it, not by the weight, but how many pieces you buy. But if you hold that it's eshadar kilimon, it means like eggs. You only sell eggs by the dozen, no other way. Something that the only way you sell consistently, you sell it by the number, only then it is a choshev. So the meat is not something very choshev. So why do we say that if you don't recognize which piece of meat is a treif? All the pieces of meat are a treif. Why? Says the Gemara, Hanichal Amandama, the one who says Kol Shadakel Amonos, and you know that one, that if he sell it occasionally by the number, then I understand. So meat also you sell sometimes by the number, and it's chashev, and so on. For example, you have 10 guests, so you go to the store, I need 10 pieces of meat. So sometimes that's how you do it. But the one who says no, the only time it's considered chashev is that it never becomes nullified. Only if the only way you sell it is by the number. So therefore, explain to me, if you have a piece of treif of meat that falls into a bunch of kosher pieces of meat, you don't know which of the treif of meat, so every piece of meat you pick up, you should say, from the roiv. What's chil, dry meat, or if it's cooked? Says Gemara, you're right. We introduce a concept here called shiny chaticha. A piece of meat is different. Hoyel sins, veru uyeli his chabit bolifne archim. Remember that? It's a kosher piece. It's a choshev piece of meat, and because it's a choshev piece, and what's the bellwether? The test is it something that you'd be happy to serve to a guest? Then it's choshev; it's not bottle. So machleik is in the achreini whether it means that this piece actually has to be choshev, or it's a steak. It doesn't matter if the cut is a choshev cut or not. If this is the type of meat that would be choshev, then it's already choshev and not bottle. Says the Gemara, so why do you have to tell us this law, side by Gidon Osher, and side by a piece of meat? Why do you need both laws? The idea is that it's not bottled. Here, because of a barrier, we said that it's an entire piece, and therefore it's choshev, and here you tell me because it's choshev l'archim. It's the same principle, similar. No, the Iyash, meaning if you only knew the law of Gid, I would say, you know why Gid is not bottled, it's get nullified, Mishum the barrier, there's a concept of a barrier, it's a choshev piece, we even have an ant, is a barrier, and it's choshev, because it's a complete piece. And the other thing about barrier, you were telling yesterday, all the criteria of barrier is, The other one is, if you cut it up, is it still called the same name? Or do you say now it's only a piece, like an ant? You cut it in half, it's no longer an ant. It's a part of an ant. It changes name. But when by a piece of meat, you cut it up, it's the same meat, just a smaller piece. So that's not a barrier. That's the other thing. It has to be alive and has to be from the beginning, it has to be also. Aval chatich, when it comes to a piece of meat, aim alive. Who said because it's chasher, you give it to guests, that's enough to say that it doesn't become nullified. If you only knew the thing about chaticha rulis kabed, I would say hoyil veruulis kabed if ne'archim, because it's suitable to give to guests. Avol gid, when it comes to a gid, aim aloy. No, it's sichel if we need both. I would say gid and nashe beria, because not everyone agrees it's beria business. Dorash rabba baba chana, rabba baba chana dashend chaticha. This is what Rabba Chana said. That a chaticha shel nevela, a piece of nevela, or a shel dog tome, non kosher meat, or a tome digge fish, which you recognize. So what do you say? It falls in the pot. We don't rely on any laws of nullification. You have to extract it. Okay. Eina, he said it, so we'll not acid the rest of the pot with anything that exudes from this piece of treif of meat or from this piece of treif of fish, unless if there's less than shishim, remember those days they didn't redo shishim, if it still gives flavor, even though you took it out, if it gave flavor to the rest of the thing, then it's not good. If you don't feel the flavor anymore, then it's mutter. Okay. Kifah is the little pieces of meat, like sediment. There's always a little piece that fall apart. There's gravy sauce and then there's a piece of what?
What about it gives flavor to the pot or food, whatever? Can you take it out?
We're talking about taking it out right now.
Yeah, and then you add a lot more food, and then the nullifies the taste.
That's called aim bevatlan isel chatchila. We don't want you chatchila to go and throw a lot more.
If you do it back,
oh yeah. We'll soon see. We'll soon see how you count that. Here we'll introduce a concept called we had in Yerodea, chaticha nas nevela, which means when a piece of meat, let's say, absorbed, not kosher. So how do we view this piece? And the piece of meat doesn't have 60 times against it, so that piece of meat now becomes treif. How do we view the piece of meat? Do we say there's a piece of meat with some treif inside it, so you cannot eat any part of it? Or do we say that this now entire piece of meat became treif? And if this falls into another pot, you'll need 60 times, not against the little bit of treif that's absorbed in it, but the entire piece of meat. And we said like basar b'chalav, we say that the whole piece is now a piece of treif. You don't say, oh, the meat is all right, with a little milk inside. So we know there's an ounce of milk in there. If you have 60 ounces of contents in the pot, it's all right. We don't say that. We say that the basar b'chalav became now a piece of basar b'chalav, a lot more than, greater than 1 ounce, whatever the amount is. And you need shishim against that. So now we're talking about treif. Sometimes I can tell you how we're calculating now. So Rabbi Baba Chana said that a piece of tray for whatever it is does not answer the rest of the pot unless you can feel its flavor. Fair enough. Comes along Rav, Oike Rav Amoyrele. So Rav said, organized his person, you know, the translator or the person who repeats everything he says in a very loud voice, the front of his Talmidim. And he wants that 1 second. I don't agree with Rabbi Baba Chana. The daughter, this is what he dashed. And this he dashed in the public. Ki, and the Rashi says the purpose was that nobody should learn from Rabbi Baba Chana. Ki von shenosan tam bechaticha. That what? That if, let's say, there was another piece of meat, so there's piece A that's treif, alongside piece B that used to be kosher, if it's right next to each other, or they were cooked together on their own, before anything else is put into the pot. And let's say piece number two, the kosher piece, did not have shishim against the iser of piece number one. And so piece number one put flavor into piece number two, which now became treif. And then you put in a whole bunch of other kosher pieces into the pot. Chaticha atzma nasa levela. That's piece number two, became now treif completely. The entire piece now, we don't say that piece number two is kosher. Like, remember we had a few days ago, chal, with the udder. We said that the udder has milk in it, but the udder can be part of the meat that you can count in the multiple of 60. Not over here. If piece number A was treif, and piece number B now received that treif, there was no shishim in the pot, then you added a whole bunch of more kosher stuff. We don't just look at the original piece and say, oh, you have 60 times against the original piece. We now look at piece number two. You need 60 times against both of them. Kol said is kol achatichas kulan, and therefore it asks all the pieces. And I'm going to go further. Since I'm following Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Paskev like Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'mino is not bottom. That means when do we say that it comes, something is nullified if it's two different types of food? So one type cancels the other. But if two similar types of food, they support each other. Meat and meat are the same type of food. So they don't nullify. Rabbi Yehuda, we don't, Rashi Paskev like him, but in Halacha we don't. We say it's bottle b'shishim. So Rav Paskins like Rav Yehuda, that if it's the same type of meat, it's never bottle. Because it's min, and therefore, piece number one, piece number two, is now asa the rest of the pot. And it sounds like from here, it could mean the meaning. Simple as that. So Omele Rav Safra Labai, a couple of generations later, Rav Safra Labai, I don't understand what Rav said. I don't understand him. If the whole idea is that it's min b'mina, then who cares if it gave a flavor in the pot? The whole idea of min b'mina is that if it's the same type of meat, one is us and the rest are kosher, it could be 1,000 pieces of meat there, it doesn't become nullified. So what he's telling a maisa that if you feel the flavor, it's irrelevant if you feel the flavor or not. If you hear the whole, you don't need to feel the flavor. Merde Rav Kiman Amr Lishmaita, but he said over here because min b'mina. Who is he following? Rabbi Yehuda, who says min b'mina le bottle. So my idiot ki nosan tam. What's the relevance here if it gives a flavor? I feel the kiloy nosan tam nami. Even if it doesn't give a flavor, it's min b'mina, it's not bottle. Amalei Abaye says this is what we should learn the other day. You missed the whole point. Hocha b'maya skin. We're not talking about min b'mina. No, we're talking about here. It was pieced. It was A, and then there was B, and then there was the rest. A was treif, and B was kosher, and those are the only two pieces in the pot. So A made B treif, and then you put a whole bunch of stuff in the pot afterwards. But what you did was, before you put the other stuff in the pot, you pulled A out. You recognize, oh, it's treif. You pulled it out. All you have left now in the pot is B. So what happens? Which became treif from A. You took the Easter away before you put all the other kosher in it. So now it makes a difference like this. If A gave flavor to B, not A gave flavor to C. If A gave flavor to B, that means B became treif, then B now asses the rest of the pot. Unless you have shishim against it. If A did not give flavor to B, if A... Oh, not every chatir for the role is covered. And second of all, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'minoy, you have a problem with min b'minoy, but B became treif. If B did not become treif, then there's no problem with min b'minoy. You took min b'minoy means you don't know which is the kosher, which is the treif.
You took A out.
So what's the problem now?
You got B, which is one.
How did B become treif? Not every piece of meat is chatir nasa level. No, wait a second. Get to that in a second. How did B become treif? Only if there wasn't shishim with the B against A. So this is what Abai is saying here. When does B, if there was not enough flavor, no, B was so much bigger than A that A did not give flavor to B, then have no problem. Because of the suki took away. Now, Shankin, if A was able to give flavor to B, and then you pulled A out, now B is going to answer the rest of the pot. Because of min b'mina. But the flavor part, so you ask the question, why do I need flavor? From A to B. How do we get from A to B? Actually, let's do the Rashi at the bottom of the page. B'shekodin v'silka, the last Rashi on the page. The Issa, you remove the Issa, the Solak, Reitiv, Koidim, Shigitin, Achedim, Videta. And you took out the A from it before you had a chance to put everything else into the pot. Hilchoch. Nosna Tambur Shoin, if A gave flavor to B, there wasn't Shishim against A, Harezu Chazeres. Now, so B now in turn, Yisrosan asks the rest of the new contents in the pot. The love, if not, then my message, just because A was sitting there before, but A is not there anymore, what should answer it? Bashmi'inan. And he comes to tell you, the chaticha atzman nasa nevela, lesa chavre seba pitosa. And we don't have to come on to min b'mina. What if B became treif, then we don't say that B has a little bit of the treif inside. It became now a full treif piece. So now you need either shishim against it or min b'mina. That's a biased version. And he says, Afilu Tema, I can tell you that Loi Kodem Vesilka, he did not take it away. If he did not take it away, so Lechayda, what's the relevance here, first of all, B anyway? If he did not take it away, they're all sitting there, and then A answers everything else. Who cares about if B was Makabal or not Makabal? So, like this Afilu Tema Kodem Vesilka, I have a min, uminoi, vedavaracha. What do you have there? You have two pieces of meat and you have a whole bunch of gravy. The gravy And the kippah, which is the little sediment, that's called ein aminah. It's a different type, then it's not a solid. So it's ein aminah, right? So you have two pieces of meat, minu minah, one is kosher, A is treif, and B is kosher. And then you have ein aminah. Now, the rule is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'minah is not bottle. The rule is, min b'ein aminah is bottle b'shishim. So what do you do over here? What do we do in this case here? You have ein aminah, you have minah. So this is what you do. Imagine the minay, imagine the kosher piece of meat is not there. Then what do you have over here? You have here a piece of tray for meat and a bunch of kosher gravy. Ein aminah. And what's the law in that case? You follow the rule of shishim. If there's 66 times, it cancels the tray for piece. And once it cancels the tray for piece, what's going to ask for the minay? What's going to ask for the kosher piece? And therefore it's kosher.
So do you actually have to be masalik the kosher piece? Or
no. You imagine.
The whole imagination.
Imagination, yeah.
Spins
that's right.
Imagination.
We had this in your day.
And this happens in your sukkah where you're imagining the walls, right? When you're with achis and with
that's right, exactly. Let's look inside. Afilu tema loy kadam v'sukkah. Havi min u'minoi v'dover achi. And Rabbi Yehuda holds min u'minoi bottle. V'chol min u'minoi v'dover achi. Solik as mina, remove the min kimisha eino if it's not there. That's why he says giving flavor, because if the min gave flavor to the first one before you put everything else in, then the second one is also. Otherwise, if they're all there together at the same time, we're going to say that the kosher piece of meat will not become treif because the sauce canceled that thing there. By the Mishnah. So in other words, if the chatchila you had two pieces of meat in the pot, and they were min b'minay, whatever, there were two pieces of meat in the pot, and then it put flavor in there, and then you put in all the kosher, we're not going to say, oh, the kosher is going to cancel the thing there, because now both pieces are asr. You have two pieces of asr meat. We're talking about here that they're all there at the same time. If they're all there at the same time, the sauce is going to cancel the tray for meat, and therefore there's nothing left to... The tray for meat is not there anymore. So there's nothing left to pass all the kosher meat. Exactly. Mishnah. Now, Gida Noshe, Noeg B'Torah only applies to kosher animals, but anyway, not by non-kosher animals. Rabbi Huda and Huda say, no, the non-kosher animal, if you eat it, you'll be over an Aveda for eating treif, a non-kosher animal, but you're not going to get the Aveda for eating Gida Noshe. Rabbi Huda says, no, Apa Tameya, that even a Tameya, even though I have a rule that one Issa cannot coincide with another Issa, in this case, the Issa of Gida Noshe will be chal on this, the Issa of eating non-kosher food. Why? Because Amar Rabbi Huda says, I think we'll discuss this later, Gida Noshe is different than all other mitzvahs in the Torah. All mitzvahs in the Torah started from when? From Matan Torah. But Gida Noshe, you know when it started from? From the times of Yaakov. We had before, right? Rabbi Huda holds that it was given to Bnei Noach. The Jews before Matan Torah were only Bnei Noach, according to Rashi, according to receiving something about here, were only Bnei Noach, and they already had this Aveda. That means which Aveda is the strictest Aveda in the Torah? The ones that started before Matan Torah. Gida Noshe.
What about the
that doesn't count. Because they're only like a voluntary. They were told about it. They were told, you're going to get this by Matan Torah. At that time, they were allowed to eat non-kosher animals, even though they were machmen not to, but they were allowed to eat non-kosher animals, and yet they were told not to eat Gida Noshe. So it tells you which is a stronger Aveda, Gida Noshe. However, the Chum say, no, Omrulai, Besinai Nema. This mitzvah of Gida Noshe was given to them as Sinai. But it dates it or goes back to the story. It puts it in there. But they were never told about this mitzvah until Matan Torah. Beautiful Rambam on this that everyone always quotes. Pirush Mishnah is Rambam. If you have a chance to learn it. So the Rambam that talks about all the mitzvahs that we do today is not because Avraham Avinu was told about Bris Milah, because of Matan Torah Hashem gave us the kayach to do all the mitzvahs. So therefore, including Gida Noshe, it's no stronger than any other mitzvah. That's the Machlekes Rachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, right? So what's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? He says you have a treif animal, which is already treif, and the Gida Noshe is added onto it. We have a rule that one Issa, you cannot compound Issa, and one Issa does not coincide on top of another Issa. Says the Gemara, Vesover, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds Issa, Chalal Issa, one Issa is coincide with another Issa. They are Tanya, didn't we learn? Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Mefeder does not agree with the principle of Issa, Chalal Issa. Rabbi Yehuda says, we know that if you ate the nevela of an oiv Torah, a kosher bird, you died. and you ate it, you become tummy by eating it, and your clothes become tummy as well. When you eat treif, your clothes don't become tummy, just you. So you would have thought that if you ate an avela's oif tummy, a bird, a non-kosher bird, and the avela ate, it should be the same thing. A what? It's even restricted. So surely the clothes should become tummy. Mitame begadim basically, when you swallow it, it should become tummy. Tamalaymer, it says there for a pasik, nevela utrefa lo yechel tummy va. That you should not eat this thing over here. With if something which is a kosher bird, and the only problem is that it died without shchita, I don't want you to eat it. And if you eat it, you know, you it comes to you and your clothes. But a treifa bird, a non-kosher bird, if you shecht it, you are allowed to eat it. It's irrelevant in the veil part of it. So the pasuk is not talking about that. That which is usher only because it's an avela, it's a kosher species, but because it's an avela, therefore, if you eat it, you become tummy in your clothes. But over here, the isur is not because of the avela, probably it's a non kosher bird. What's the isur? The isur is because it's a non kosher bird. Clear from here that you cannot compound an isur of eating in the vela on top of an iser of being a non-kosher, because one iser cannot fall on top of another iser. Once there's an iser already, it's a non-kosher species, you cannot add to it if it died by itself. Oh, it's also an avela. We should do two avelas. You ate, first of all, a non-kosher species and the vela. You can't add avelas. So how could I be able to say that a non-kosher animal will add the iser of gid hanoshim? You can't add iser. You're going to tell me, Kasavari Hol, you misunderstood Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, we had an argument a few days ago with the Gidin, and the Gemara actually concluded that Gidin are a piece of wood that have no taste, the tasteless. So, if you ate the Gidin Nush of a non kosher animal, in fact, according to the Chachamim, you wouldn't be over any Aveda. What Aveda did you do? You ate a piece of wood. He ate a piece of wood. They hold there's no gidan nasha by a non-kosher animal, so there's no yeast of gidan nasha, nor is the yeast of eating treif, because it's not food. It's a piece of wood. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I hold you will be over for gidan nasha. When he says here you're over gidan nasha, a non-kosher animal, the reason is because you're not going to be over the yeast of eating treif, not kosher, because it's not food. It's a piece of wood, and that's what gidan nasha is. So he says here, so he holds, when he says you're liable if you ate from a non-kosher animal, the gidan osher, you're liable. He didn't mean you're liable for eating non-kosher. You're only liable for eating gidan osher. There's no isa of tumah. And for Hakabi, are you going to try to tell me, convince me, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no taste by gid v'tanya, we learn clearly. Ha'oichel gid hanosha shel behemah tmeya. You ate from a horse the gid hanosha, for not kosher animal. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev shtayim, two avedah, one for eating a horse and one for eating the gid hanosha. So mefeidish he holds that that the gid hanosha must have a taste, and therefore you are over. But Rabbi Shimon Poiter, Rabbi Shimon Taka holds that gid hanosha has no taste, and we paskin yesterday that it ain't gid hanosha tam. You taka not over for eating non kosher. Nor are you able to gidan osher, because he holds like a town over here that says only kosher animals you have gidan osher. So what's Pshat Rabbi Yehuda? La'olam kesavah, you're right. He holds yesh begidan nois and tam. No, so how come you're even gidan if it's a non-kosher animal? U'kesavah, he holds that the iser of gidan osher took place before the iser of treif. The iser of a non-kosher animal only happens when it's fully formed. But the iser of gidan osher starts even while it's in the mother's womb. And because the Issa starts inside the one's womb, the Issa is there first. The Gemara, Ukasavri holds, or you hold, they came together at the same time. He holds while it's in the mother's womb and it's forming, it's a horse. And he holds while it's in the mother's womb, it already has a Gidan Usher. So both happen. And even though we say, Ain Issa Chal Ar Issa, but they both coincide at the same time, Bahadiyadadikasi, we say they are Chal. Ukasavri holds, Noyig Bishalil, Gidan Usher is also in the baby calf inside, or in the baby animal inside the fetus. The Issa Gid, the Issa Tumibadiyadadikasi. So, what are you talking about? We learned a few weeks ago, Mimotis Amrit, that Yehuda is the fetish, the one who holds that a 9-month-old baby inside the womb. There is no Gidan Usher. He holds when you shech the mother, you shech automatically the baby. So therefore, it's part of the mother. It's only another limb. There's no Gidan Usher in the baby. So the Gidan Usher actually started later. But now we learned before that Noyeg, that what do you call it? That Noyeg, the Shalil, and Rabbi Yehuda says, ain't a Noyeg, made holes, because it's a separate animal altogether, so you have Gidan Usher there. And Rabbi Yehuda says, there isn't. You can eat the fats. You can eat the shalim. The chal b'mutter. Answers the Gemara. You're mixing things up. When does Rav Yehuda say that hani mili gabe tohida by a kosher animal? By kosher animal, he says when you shecht a mother automatically includes his babheima tochelu or kol babheima. You learn what is automatically included in the shechita. So therefore, he says why is it included in the shechita? Because it's like another limb of the mother. So there's no gita nasha. But a non-kosher animal, shechting your mother doesn't help at all. It's not a kosher animal. It's a different species altogether. So therefore, over there, taka the gita nasha starts straight away. It's not a separate. It's not a part of the mother. It's a separate animal altogether. It has no gita nasha. When does he say by tahida the rachman? A special pasuk of tahida says kol babehema techelu. Either from the word kol or from the word babehema machlekes, we learn out that it's part of the animal. It's just another limb. So therefore, there's no gita nasha there. That's what he's saying there. Avo b'tmeir. Here we're talking about a non-kosher animal. There's no pasuk to tell you that the fetus, the live fetus inside, is really part of the mother, another limb. Therefore, no, we have it. Says the Gemara, and another answer. Me matzis amrid. How can you say? Someone asked a question. How can you say that the tabayi bahadi hadodik osi the sai gid and sai what do you call it, the east of tumah, both coincide together? Vihatanan. Didn't we learn al elu tumis and the following tumis hanozim megalech? If someone was a nozim and sometime in the middle of his naziris he became tameh, he has to start all over again. He has to first cleanse himself, bring a carbonus, and then he starts all over again. What kind of tumah renders the nozir null and void and has to start all over again? Not every tumah. If he touches a shed, he doesn't have to start again. He just, you know, makes sure that night he goes to the mikveh. But rather al hameis, if he touches a dead body, or al kezayis min hameis, or even the olive size of a mace. And we already had the gemara before that is difficult to understand. If on the kezayis of a mace you become a nazir, has to break his nazir, surely on a full mace, what do you have to tell us both? The kashalom, we asked the question, al kezayis mace megaleach, if you tell me on a kezayis of a mace the nazir touches it, he has to start all over again. Al hameis kuli lo koshkin, if he touches the entire corpse, surely it's not all over again. What do you tell me? And we had before, Rabbi Yechon answered, lo nitzcha, the kezayis of a mace is a chiddush. You know what I'm going to tell you? Ella Lenefo, talking about over here a fetus, Shalinus Kashrav, that why that he didn't yet fully develop. So he doesn't have a kazayas of flesh. So kazayas min hameis means a kazayas of a full corpse. And min hameis means a full corpse but has less than a kazayas of flesh. How can you have a full corpse with less than a kazayas of flesh? A baby fetus that is just in the process of developing itself. And therefore, the chiddush is that even though it doesn't have a kezayis of meat, if it's a full fetus, it's matami boil. So what do we see from here? The outside, the exterior form, develops before the internal, before the meat and the gidanosh and all that kind of stuff. So what do we see from here? That it became... Sorry? No, kezayis means from a whole... A kezayis, we can learn two ways. But a kezayis is referring to the kezayis of a full mace. And when it says min hamace, it means a full mace, which is a nafel. Or you can learn the other way around. But the idea is that a nafel doesn't have a kezayis. But the nafel is a whole mace. And therefore, it's matami ba'oil. But what is even here? That they varim form before the internals. That means that it became a horse before it had a gidan usher. So it goes back to the question, how can you say the gidan usher is chal? It's not behadi adadi. They're not happening at the same time. You see that what? That the Isa Tume, whatever the species is, comes first. Afagav the Isa Tume Kadim. See more answers. You're right. If gid hanusher is such a dominant avera, even though the Isar of Tumah came first, Isa Gid Nachayla comes in Chalan. Why? She came Isuri Noyminach. It's such a strong Aveda that Isa's Noyminach. Rabbi Yaakov Emden accused Rabbi Yenis and Abishitz of being a follower, I don't know if I told you this, of being a follower of Shapsi Tzvi. And one of the proofs that he brought is Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yenis and Abishitz, who used to be a butcher. And he was a manaka. A manaka means somebody who removes all the veins, like gidanosha, and the fats. So one of the first things that Shapsi Tzmi did was he removed Tisha B'Av, he removed Asar B'Tevet. He said, I'm here, Mashiach is here, we don't need, you know, no more fasting anymore for Churban Beis HaMikdash. That 365 Leisase, and every Leisase corresponds to another day of the year. The Pasuk says, Akein Le'yochel Yisrael Es Gid HaNosha. So we know that the mitzvah of Gid HaNosha, or the Yisrael Gid HaNosha, is on the day of Tisha B'Av. Because the word S, Aleph Sof, is Tisha Av. So it says in Sfarim that Tisha B'Av it corresponds to Ginnanosha. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that's why Yehoshua Eibishitz became a butcher, to make sure that parts of the Ginnanosha remain inside. So everybody should eat Ginnanosha because there's no longer a Tisha B'Av, because Shabtzi Tzvi is here. That's what he accused him of. Yeah. So why is it Yisrael Chomer Gidon Asher? Because this is the first mitzvah, as it says in the Mishnah. They can, I'll prove it to you. The Tani, it says in the Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Yehuda said, V'aloyim ibnei Yaakov Nesi Gidon Asher. It started from then. V'adayim behemah mitmeh mutar islam. It's still kosher. You're allowed to eat behemah tmeh until matan tehor, and yet they couldn't eat Gidon Asher. So that's why the Yisrael of Gidon Asher is chal, because it's such a strong aver. Not because the itaka came later to the animal, but so what? It's able to be chal. We'll stop hearing things more.